Good morning. It's Monday, September 26, 2022. And as mentioned at the close of the last teaching, we're going to focus on the subject of prayer through the month of November 2022. The simplest definition of prayer is talking to God. When we chose God's only begotten Son to dwell in our hearts, instantly, we were children of the Most High. We totally own the liberty to speak to our Father at any time and about anything, and that is a freedom that cannot be taken away from us. Educational systems at every level of schooling and pretty much in all the subjects, they stress and include oral and written communications. You know, cultivating an ease to express our thoughts isn't a bad thing. Having the ease to talk to our peers, with our families, before large audiences, or one-on-one with a friend, but most importantly, God. It's timeless. Cultivating that ease, that comfort zone. Throughout life on earth, others are involved. It always will be. And being able to express our thoughts is a powerful thing. It's a powerful tool. Of all life's assets, this is one to nurture and strengthen. Meaningful and personable communication is valuable. And we can certainly thank God because it is learnable at any age. Even in secular endeavors, employers, no matter the industry, they are looking for candidates who are good communicators and conversationalists, as well as good listeners. And, of course, the skill that it takes to do the job. But they are looking for that. Communicators. Counselors agree that genuine, honest, heartfelt communications in a family, among family members, are essential in forming tightly knit relationships. And the same would hold true in any relationship we want to build. We are all aware that the art of speaking, so-called, can be utilized and is utilized to manipulate and deceive the hearers. Happens every day, you know. Read your emails that should have gone to spam. Watch the TV commercials. You know, that's not the communications. That's not the learning conversations that we're talking about. We're talking about born-again ones. People who know and believe that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's why, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we trust God to tame our tongues, to speak life. Because what? We read once and again, no man can tame that tongue. So it needs spiritual assistance for sure. We speak to others. We share our hearts with each other, and in doing so, we're making ourselves known not for any deceitful purpose, not for selfish gain, but for edification. And it's a two-way street. When I speak to you, and I perceive that you have been edified, I am edified all the more. That's the way it works. That's the way God has set it up. And certainly dear to us are our heart conversations with God. Prayer is a spiritual communication between each one of us and the Father. Think of conversations of children. It's so natural for little ones to ask their parents for things they need and want. In a healthy household, children have no fear of asking their parents for every little thing and any little thing and big things. And without them asking, we already know children delight at even the thought of going to a theme park. And when they ask, isn't it wonderful to delight their request with a hearty, absolutely, let's go. But over the years, people have told us, I don't know what to say to God when I pray. Well, I'm going to say to you, it is never too late to take care of that one. And praise the Lord, you don't have to head back to any classroom. So it's our prayer for you that in no time at all, you will be comfortable to pull off your shoes, so to speak, and talk to God with ease about anything and everything that is in your heart or on your heart. What a comfort. After a day in the world to relieve your soul in the Father's presence, so that you can recalibrate, adjust your attitude, and to reset your expectation for the next day. I mean, we always have that hope. The truth is, we can do this on the go as we move through our days. The Word has no restrictions as to when we can pray. Quite the opposite, we are encouraged to pray. The most straightforward verse I think of is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It simply instructs, pray without ceasing. The phrase without ceasing might seem daunting to the senses mind. You might think, well, it's impossible to pray without ceasing. But without ceasing refers to being God-minded all of our waking hours, and we can nurture a prayer-filled manner of life. And that's a lifestyle that seamlessly links our awakening prayers to our bedtime prayers. It's not really that daunting. In fact, think about this. It takes less time to pray without ceasing throughout your day than to binge on all the alternatives. And we'll consider this through several scenarios that I've thought about. Let's say you're moving through your day and you become aware of a nagging temptation that's pulling at you. And gosh, you kick it out of your mind and it just kind of comes back before your face through your thoughts. In that moment, take the temptation to God. Praise Him for directing your steps and be ever so thankful that because of His Word in your hearts, you've recognized that trap the enemy set for you. You know, it fits so beautifully with the very next verse, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So even amidst temptations, we can thank God that we are able to see it coming. Because of instruction in His Word, we have His wisdom. We thank Him that He has made us more than conquerors in Christ, that nothing can separate us from His love in Christ Jesus. Or say you're grabbing lunch and enjoy a pleasant exchange with a helpful server. Right then and there, thank God for good people. There are some left out there, you know. You know, you might even increase your tip and thank the person for their thoughtfulness. Say encouraging words to them to kind of keep up the good work. We can all relate to driving across country and, you know, you reach the crest of a hill or somewhere in the forward-looking direction you're going, you see some breathtaking scenery. And in those moments of just awe, thank God for the beauty of His creation. And in this example, we can start to grasp how our conversations with God are two-way, because the beauty of His creation is speaking to us. In these moments when even a camera cannot capture what our eyes are taking in, God's all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresence gets flushed to the surface of our awestruck hearts. It's just amazing. So we take the time as we're traveling along. We can indulge ourselves in his majestic splendor. We can reflect on the unmatched greatness of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And in our God-mindedness moments, our souls drink in all his wonderfulness. Or maybe, as we prayerfully read the scriptures, those are his words to us. They may not be audible, but God magnified those words above all his name. Psalm 138:2. His words speak so personally to each one of us and guide us in the righteous way to believe. His written word exposes our faults and missteps. His words to us navigate us back to a safe footing. What greater assurances could we receive from God than right from his very own word that he magnified above all of his name? As a young girl, my mom was teaching me to iron, which I was not excited to learn. But she convinced me that it would be more enjoyable if I would think of the person while I was ironing their clothing. She suggested that as I ironed a shirt for my dad, that I thank God for all the wonderful ways Dad blessed us and to pray for his health and his safety. Now, you might say, what if your dad had been a horrible person? How would you pray for him then? Well, we still can do it. I could have thanked God that the love and kindness that I ironed into that shirt would press upon his heart a life-changing event. It applies to so many things we do in a day's time. Whether the situations are positive or negative, there is always, always a godly way to present it to the Father in our God-mindedness in our prayers. So maybe the person you're praying for never even knows the love and prayers you have sent in their direction. That's okay. But it is really so easy to unite our conversations with God into our everyday living. And this may be the hard part, but it doesn't have to be. It is simply a matter of our free will choice. I think of another biggie, impatient waiting. You know, whether we're in a line for an order, at a checkout, or stuck in traffic, you know, the timing of those kinds of things are outside our control, and yet they do seem to pop up when we have the least amount of extra time. But have a song in your mind. Pray for others who are waiting along with you. Everyone in a traffic jam has their own circumstances, and nobody enjoys waiting, except for those of us who are waiting on the Lord. And then what about road rage? Look how many lives are lost to this evil. And honestly, if we are driving along, praying, and someone cuts us off, and we offer up a distasteful gesture to communicate our disapproval, our prayer life needs a makeover. You think through the pitfalls of life upon this earth, and it becomes clear that the wisdom of God is telling us to pray without ceasing. That's why. These are some of the reasons. And that's the heart behind George Mueller saying that he lived in the spirit of prayer. Now, that gets quoted a lot. He did go on to say that he prayed as he walked about. He prayed when lying down. Then he added, and the answers are always coming. Isn't that interesting? I could enjoy
learning that lifestyle. How about you?
So pray without ceasing. Pray is the verb form of the word we worked in Philippians 4:6 a few weeks ago. It is the word prosukamai, Strong's 4336. It's a compound word consisting of pros and eukamai. The first part of the word, pros, is a preposition, and its meaning is determined by the context in each passage where it's used. In the case of prayer, it conveys our spiritual nearness to God. It refers to the intimacy, to the closeness with God and His Son through prayer. Now, the last part of the word, eukamai, is translated to wish, to will, to pray to God. And we're going to come back to this word because it is a self-standing word, just as it is, and it is translated prayer, and there are occurrences of that in the New Testament. But for now, looking at prosukamai, putting these words together into this compound form indicates that when we pray, we come heart to heart with God. And it emphasizes the intimacy, the trust to share with Him anything and everything on our heart. According to the Greek lexicon, prosukamai emphasizes the direct approach of the one who prays. See, it's a direct approach in seeking God's communion, His fellowship, a visitation with Him. And it includes our speaking out, whether silently or whether out loud, where we express a wish and then we pray or we make a vow. It is always used of prayer addressed to God as being the object of our faith and the one who will answer the prayer. Prosukamai encompasses all the aspects of prayer. submission, the confession, the petition, supplication for our own needs, intercession for the needs of others, praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And look at 1 Corinthians 14. This is great. The term for prayer includes praying in the Spirit. Paul said in verse 14, by the will of God, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Both the words pray and prayeth are this word, prosukamai. The word for prayer includes speaking in tongues in our private prayer lives. So the prosukamai, that's why it's used so many times in the word. But as we continue along, we'll get into other words that are translated prayer and words relating to prayer. And then in verse 15, Paul said, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. In this verse, both occurrences of the word pray are the word prosukamai. Vine's expository dictionary says that prosukamai carries with it a notion of worship, which is absent in the other words for prayer, and those we will cover over the next couple of months. Our purpose with these teachings and this intense focus over a period of time, it is not to manufacture a robotic method for prayer, no formulas, but rather to fuel our desire to pursue a more intimate and powerful relationship with God that results from our talking to Him. Conversing with God without ceasing brings us delight in our very own special, intimate, one-on-one fellowship with our Father. We can be anywhere. We can be doing anything. And we are just God-minded. He is in our thoughts. We're driving along, thank you, Father, for that. There's just every little thing we can leave captive to placing it in a spiritual conversation with our Heavenly Father. Prayer records in the Bible do not always give us the wording of prayers the believers prayed. And that's easy to understand at this point. The truth is, and it still is, they prayed with words coming from their hearts to express their prayers to God. They were comfortable in talking to Him. They had no dread. Now, coming back to that word eukamai, which is translated to pray and is used to mean wish for or I would. It is the word used in 3 John 2, and it's translated, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and have health. So this word indicates, this word wish, it indicates that prayer is involved. In Acts 27:29, Paul was a minister, a prisoner. He was a minister too, but in this case, he was a prisoner aboard a ship, and he was being delivered to stand before Caesar to make an account of his life. And a tempest, a large storm, had put all their lives in jeopardy, and Paul said, they cast out anchors and wished for the day. Again, this indicates prayer. I mean, here, like I said, their lives are in jeopardy, and it indicates prayer for them to see the morning light. So sometimes when we're wished a happy birthday, it's okay. It's okay. We understand. In Acts 26:29, used a little differently, Paul is responding to Agrippa. He says, I would to God. And this I would, that's how this word eukamai is translated. I would to God. And Paul was indicating that his prayers for Agrippa and all who heard his response is that they would believe. Now, this was Paul's prayer. I would to God. So, interesting to see how those words go. In the Old Testament, I'm sure you've noticed or heard or know that offerings and sacrifices were brought to the altar of God when prayer was made. And even idolaters brought sacrifices for their gods, and that's with a very small g, in their false hopes that their prayers would be regarded and answered by these idols. But when we pray, the acceptable offering we bring to Jehovah, the one true God, is our obedient hearts. And in 2 Corinthians 10:3, and I'll read from the NIV, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, that's our part. We take those things in our lives that need to be demolished. We take them to the Lord God in prayer in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And then our obedience of taking those thoughts captive, it unleashes the work of the Spirit within, and boom, great things, miraculous things, healing things, restorative things happen. then they aren't an anomaly. You read through Acts, healings, miracles, they weren't anomalies. They were the norm for the Christian walk. You know, the personal significance and value of open lines of communication with the Father will always exceed our expectations. And, you know, there's a lot to meditate upon in our developing a lifestyle of prayer that brings about powerful blessings, not only for us, but for all those we pray for. It's lots of food for thought. And I want to close with Paul's heart for the Ephesians. In chapter 1, starting in verse 16, in the NIV, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. That's the power that we tap with our prayers, with our growing knowledge of God. And how healing to pray for all the believers according to the will of God. And like it or not, we're spending eternity together, and we have God's promise that we're going to love it. There's not going to be one single negative. And if we don't like loving some of the brethren now, it's simple. Call upon the divine power of God to demolish those arguments in your mind that oppose his knowledge. You know, so prayer is a loaded subject. It's, like I said, it's a lot to munch on, much more than a salutation. And in light of that, we pray for you. Please pray for us. God's love and blessings to all of you.